I feel very called to become a member of the Catholic Church.
Love the Catholic Church. It's just the best place to be.
From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Now, you may remember, if you are of a certain age, that there was a movie way back when, I forgot who was in it, but the movie was called If It's Tuesday, This Must Be Belgium. And it was, don't remember anything about it, but I do remember the title. Well, the way I look at it is, if it's Thursday, it must be Father Larry Richards.
It must be.
Am I right, Padre?
You are right, by God's grace.
How are you?
Hey,
it couldn't be better. Tom Price here, filling in for our friend Jack Williams, who is wrapping up his honeymoon even as we speak. He'll be back on the JOB, I believe, on Monday.
Wow.
So we will look forward to that. Let me give you the phone number here at EWTN's Open Line Thursday, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for our response and then text us your first name and your brief question. Message and data rates may apply. We are here as we are every Thursday with Father Larry Richards. And Father, you are having a big men's retreat this weekend, am I right?
I am in Malvern, Pennsylvania.
All right. Well,
Malvern, the retreat center down there.
It's a big one, isn't it?
I'm thinking. I haven't really looked into it yet much, but there's a lot of guys coming, I'm guessing.
Well, I know that Johnette Bankovic has a lot of retreats that she does there in Malvern.
Oh, really?
So there's your imprimatur.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Mrs.
Williams.
Mrs. Williams, isn't that something?
Or actually Bankovic Williams, at least at the moment.
Oh, okay. There
okay.
you go.
Very good.
Good job.
I want to lead off here with an email from Cheryl in Holland, Michigan. She says, I have a developmentally disabled 40-year-old son who is currently hospitalized in a psych hospital to adjust his medication. It's been a very difficult time for him. He is truly suffering both mentally and physically. This is his third hospitalization since February. I, meanwhile, am currently experiencing leg pain from surgery, tension, anxiety, and also grieving for my son. I pray for him almost nonstop, but now I'm starting to doubt my faith. I have been told I should offer up my pain and suffering to God in order to help heal my son. I must admit, I fully do not comprehend how this works. Does my pain serve as a penance for him? Please explain how this works. We're both Catholic, but he is not able to go to Mass or confession due to this developmental problem. Thanks again, Cheryl in Holland, Michigan.
Well, first of all, I'm sorry for your pain and everything that you're going through. Second of all, it's important that whenever you suffer that you never waste any suffering. When you unite your suffering with Jesus on the cross, you become a co-redeemer, if you will. That Jesus is the one who redeems. But we remember Jesus says, or St. Paul talks about how we fill up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing lacking in the sufferings of Christ. But when we join ourselves with him, then we bring that suffering of Christ to the situation. And as I talked about before, when you pray for somebody or you offer something up for somebody, you become this magnifying glass where the grace of God, which is everywhere, is focused through you. And so when a person is suffering, that really cleans that glass, if you will, so that more of the grace can be focused through you on your son in that case.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second point is you got to remember that Jesus said, in the world you will have trouble. He never promised us happiness on earth. In fact, if you go to Fatima, you know, Our Lady with the children says, I can't promise you happiness on earth. And if the Mother of God cannot promise us happiness on earth, then nobody else can.
Yeah.
And too often we're just trying to hold on and trying to get some happiness here. And think about all of us. And we all suffer in one way or another. And we might have some happy times, but then we get through some suffering times. And we think, why, God, do you allow this to happen? And again, when God the Father looked at Jesus, and there's his only son on the cross suffering, why, God, did you let this happen? The reality is that God still was going to bring good out of it. And you got to trust that no matter how bad it gets, that God will bring good out of it. You know, when he could turn the most horrendous thing humanity ever did, we killed his only son, and he brought salvation, our salvation out of it, then that's a glorious thing. So you got to always have hope that God is only preparing us for the next life. He's not promising everything's going to go fine now. Yeah. But when you do go through that suffering, do offer that up, and you can be unbelievably what God can do when you do that.
Cheryl, thank you so much for your email there. We do appreciate that. We hope that those words are helpful for you. If you'd like to send us an email for a future show, the address is openline@ewtn.com, openline@ewtn.com. And while you're at it, on the subject line, be sure to put either Thursday or Father Larry, some way to designate where we're going to send each and every one of these emails as they're coming in. We'll get to the phones in a moment here at 833-288-EWTN. First of all, another email from Nancy. She says, "Hey, Father Larry, what are your thoughts on having a table with evangelical materials and people versed in doing intercessory prayer at a parish carnival? I am part of an evangelization team, which is St. Paul Street Evangelization, who has asked our parish carnival committee chairs to allow us to do this. The pastor said it's all up to them. Don't ask him. We have got nothing but insults. We have got nothing but insults and negative feedback, and we're being charged to have a booth. Now, we have been told it's an inappropriate place to do evangelization, and we shouldn't even consider praying with anyone there. Now, this parish has no other outreach booth or Legion of Mary or anything like that that rings of our Catholic faith at the carnival. We thought this would be a great way to reach out to our town and community in attendance. What are your thoughts? Thanks and God bless. Nancy."
Well, there you go. It is something that we need to evangelize at all times as the church, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, again, we have big festivals here, and we do other things that way. Like, you know, if I never even thought about having a booth just for that, which would be a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, but we'll put out, mass times and different things. I think that it's important that we do not, you know, Pope Francis talks about we don't Protestantize. We don't go around and just push Jesus down someone's throat.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an altogether different thing to invite, you know, if you have a booth and people want to pray and different things, and for the parish to charge for that, that's ridiculous. Usually people that are fighting you and that have not been evangelized themselves yet, that's why they're fighting you.
Yeah.
You know, and there are lots of people who haven't been evangelized in our churches. So,
sure.
But I think it's a good idea. That's something that, well, because we're in the middle of our planning for our, we have a big Oktoberfest the first weekend of October of every year. And we've always talked about ways to do different things, but just having a booth there, if people wanted to pray, have be prayed over and different things, that could be a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, thank you so much for your email, Nancy. Again, if you want to send us an email for a future show, the address, openline@ewtn.com, openline@ewtn.com. When we return, we'll get to Marianne in Dickinson, North Dakota, listening to us on Real Presence Radio. We also have a line open for you right now, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Open Line Thursday with Father Larry Richards here on EWTN.
The Venerable Fulton John Sheen.
If we wish to keep our rights and liberties, we must also keep our God. Piety and patriotism go together. That's the first glory of being an American.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
The Holy Father's prayer intention for the month of June is that national leaders may firmly commit themselves to ending the arms trade, which victimizes so many innocent people.
Hi, I'm Doug Keck, and this is an EWTN Bookmark Brief. I just finished talking with Father Joseph Roche, a friend of ours from the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, and the book is Fatima, A Pilgrimage with Mary, published by our friends at Marian Press. Tell us, Father Joe, give us an overview of what this book's about.
Well, it's a beautiful picture book, what we call a coffee table book, with some beautiful pictures of the shrine of Our Lady of Fatima, and it tells the story of the apparitions of Our Lady that took place 100 years ago. It tells us about the situation in the world today, And Our Lady is really in this book taking us on a pilgrimage, helping us to meet her son Jesus, helping us to recognize that the heart of the world is Jesus and the Eucharist, and that if we open our hearts to him, we can do our part to change the world.
The book is Fatima, A Pilgrimage with Mary by the Marian Press, available through the EWTN Religious Catalog. EWTNRC.com is the place you can find it. This has been a Bookmark Brief. Thanks for stopping by.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
So what do you think? Is it time to go shopping? It may very well be. There might be a June wedding that you've got to buy a gift for, or perhaps a birthday or an anniversary gift, something like that. Check out EWTN Religious Catalogs TV program. It's coming up tomorrow morning at 10:30 Eastern Time on EWTN Television. And before we go to the phones here, Father, and talk with Marianne in Dickinson, I want to welcome two brand new radio stations to our EWTN family. FM 88.1 serving Gillette, Wyoming, and also AM 970 serving Austin and Rochester, Minnesota. Big thanks to Steve and the great team at Real Presence Radio. They've worked very hard to bring these two great stations into their growing apostolate. I think, Father, they have like two dozen stations now.
Bless God. You welcome. Know, it's good to have you.
Fantastic. So here we go to the phones and talk with Marianne in Dickinson, North Dakota, listening herself on Real Presence Radio. Hey, Marianne, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Marianne.
Hello.
How is Dickinson?
It's a wonderful town to live in.
Oh, I know. I've been there. I did the parish mission there.
Yes.
How's the pastor?
Father Shannon Luke. I'm not sure how to say his last name. Father Shannon, I like to just say that.
Yes.
They bring you to Queen of Peace. Not too many years ago.
If you see him, tell him hi.
I will do that. So very grateful that he was able to bring you to...
yes, we had a fine time there.
Yep, I enjoyed your talks greatly. And I have to say, my son, Zach, he's in his 30s. He introduced me, or he just turned 30. He introduced me to your CDs quite a few years ago. So
good job.
Anyway, so thanks. Thank God to him. Anyway, here are my questions.
Okay.
The first one is on in regards to the Blessed Mother. When she went to visit Elizabeth, you know, we have the mystery, the visitation.
Sure.
How many days did she stay there?
It says in Luke's Gospel she stayed there about 3 months.
Three
months, and it's a great thing that too often people sit there and say, oh, I have to take care of myself before I can take care of somebody else. Now, if anybody could have said that, that would have been Mary, because she could have said, you know, listen, I have Jesus inside of me, so I got to just sit there and take care of myself first. Don't you get it? I have Jesus inside of me. But no. The first thing she does is she goes and serves someone else who's pregnant. That's the surest sign of a follower of Jesus.
Yes.
They always put people before them. They never make these, oh, no, I got to take care of me before I take care of somebody else. That's garbage that has infiltrated the church, but it has no place in it. Anyway, that's my first thing. What's the second question?
Okay, the second question is, we know the Blessed Mother Mary was conceived without sin.
Uh-huh.
Now, I understand St. John the Baptist was born without original sin. Is there anybody else besides St. John the Baptist born without original sin?
I have never heard that St. John the Baptist was born without original sin. The only one that that's the only one. Of course, Jesus was born without original sin because he's God.
Yeah.
But Mary never had sin. But even Joseph had original sin. You know, everybody.
Okay.
So I've never, nobody except for Mary and Jesus had no original sin, unless something that I haven't known after all these years of being a priest. But I'm telling you, as far as I know, no, he of course had original sin.
Okay, there you go. Marianne, thank you so much for your call. Glad that you're listening in Dickinson, North Dakota. Father, I just read a new study just came out of the states with the highest quality of life and North Dakota came in number one.
Holy cow.
I know. Can you believe that?
It's cold there. It was snowing there like in September when I was there.
I'm not surprised by that at all. Open Line Thursday here on EWTN. It's 833-288-EWTN. If you have a question for Father Larry Richards, we're talking about the new evangelization today. 833-288-3986. Here's a question from Francis watching us on YouTube. Francis says, I have a friend who does not know how to read or write. She is a Protestant and does not speak English. How can I evangelize to her?
The greatest thing would be, you know, you know, those CDs and DVDs at the ends of a lot of churches, you know, where I have stuff and that. But there's a lot of that stuff also in Spanish, or if that's her language, you know. But there are stuff available in other languages, and to give them, to look them up in whatever language it is and see if there's something there, and to get them, you know, a DVD or a CD that they could listen to. That's a great way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Here's a text now from Caleb who says, if every event is intended by God, how could anything not be his fault? Stubbed toes, bad weather, atheism. Could God have not prevented it?
Well, of course he could prevent anything, but because he gave us free will, that's what always happens. And free will, you know, that's why it's never the intention of God for a man or a woman to sin. And yet he gave us free will. Now, you could sit there and say, well, he could stop us from sinning. Well, he could kill us right then and there. Okay, you will not sin. But then he doesn't honor our freedom. And so it's so important for letting us and have, since God loved us so much that he gives us freedom. And so now he does, if a person has surrendered their life to him, he says, he makes that promise in Scripture that he will make all things work together for good, but not for everybody. How's that? Romans 8:28, people claim it all the time, but they have to look at the whole verse. It says, God makes everything work together, all things work together for good for those who, one, love him, and two, are called by his decrees, which means that they love God and they choose to surrender themselves to him and let him have control of their life. But everybody else, God lets them do what they want to do, if you will, because he loves them. He gives them free will. That's why also that consequences, you know, the first real consequence is sin, is you get what you ask for, right?
Yeah.
You know, you go and you commit to adultery, well, and then your family finds out and they hate you, and you can't, and you blame God. Don't blame God. I told you not to do it. You did it, and this is the consequence for what you've done. If you go and jump out of a top of a building, well, you're gonna die, you know, and you can't blame God. You made a decision, and God lets you make that decision. It's a sign of his love that he gives us what we get.
Okay. This is Open Line Thursday with Father Larry Richards here on EWTN. We have a line open for you right now, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Father, this is a little on the sensitive side here. This is from Victoria in San Diego. She says, I'm having trouble with my faith right now. I have always tried to be a devoted Catholic as best as I can, but recently I watched a documentary that's really disturbed me. It was all about a nun who was murdered in the 60s, and a priest who was apparently molesting teenage girls might have been responsible for that nun's murder. Now, I know that just because there's one apple, it doesn't represent the whole church, the one bad apple. But the fact that people weren't being protected is what really bothers me. In result, many more were affected by the cover-up. I used to do Bible study with the nun. She would always tell me, avoid videos like that. But I thought it was about solving a murder. I had no idea it was as bad as it was. Please, Father, help me with this troubling situation. That's from Victoria.
Well, Victoria, from the very beginning, when God created this wonderful earth, you know, and he had created Adam and Eve, first they sinned, and then their son, one son killed another, you know, from the very beginning. And then you have Jesus, and Jesus, who is God, chose 12 people to found the Holy Church. And these 12 people, the God of the universe chose, there was one who betrayed him to death. That no matter what goes on, in the Holy Church, there's also great sin because of the humanity of people. And we are finding that in our diocese, you know, we just went through this whole thing of people, priests who molested, and not only priests, but lay teachers in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And we've just been, the best thing we keep doing now is we bring everything out in the light. You know, there was a friend of mine who I've known forever, and in our time, well, within the last 5 years, he also was a priest, and he also did that. And it was a kick in the stomach. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And the only thing I can say is what keeps us faithful is that the truth of the gospel is always the truth. The humanity of the people that carry out that truth is sad sometimes, because we're all, but, you know, even when, if they were covering that up, and, you know, just because they said they were covering up doesn't mean it was, but even that's part of the sinfulness that was there. And the only thing that I'm finding now more than ever is that we as a church are doing more than anybody else to make sure this stuff doesn't happen again. Now, again, we're doing everything. Everything is out in the light. We have all these rules, regulations about how to deal with people, all that kind of stuff, so that whatever happened in the past, and there was bad in the past, there's been bad in the history of the church, and yet God is stronger than that, and his truth still prevails. So I always say that, you know, like, just because you, like in your own life and anybody's life, you never want to be judged by the worst moment you've ever done in your life. And we all have moments in our life which we don't want to, you know, just sit there and brag about to everybody else. And so with the church, that there is some horrible stuff that's happened, but there is a heck of a lot more good.
You know,
there's nobody that's taken care of the poor more than we have. There's no one that's reached out to those who are sick more than we have. There's no one that's taught people the truth and open universities more than we have. So there has been bad, but there's been a lot more good. And you just don't focus on the bad. But, you know, I can understand why people would. Sometimes I get that way. I go, how could this ever have happened?
Yeah.
And the only thing I can say is it just makes me very, very sad.
Victoria, thank you so much for your email. Here is Gannett in Naples, Florida, listening to us there in Naples. Hey, Gannett, what's on your mind today?
Hello.
Is it Johnette or Gannett?
Gannett.
Gannett. Very good.
Gannett.
What's your question today, Gannett?
Well, I am just wondering, because I know your topic is evangelization, and I know horoscopes, consulting medium is not good.
No.
And I don't hear that so much in the pulpit. How can I, as a baptized Christian, tell people not, you know, like, because that is against the first commandment, and you, it's bad, you know, like it's a sin. So how
Absolutely.
Do I go about doing that?
Well, again, I would encourage you, there's some tracts in that out on that. You could get some tracts about why it's bad in the Catholic faith. I'm sure that they have some CDs out with, you know, the stuff in the back of the churches. I'm sure they have so much stuff. There got to be something on that.
Sure.
The reason you don't always hear that from the pulpit, like every time I'm anywhere, someone says, Father, how come we don't hear more about abortion? Father, how come we don't hear more about sexuality? Father, how come we don't hear more about divorce and separated? Everybody has their thing that we need to be speaking on, and they think this would be a great thing. But the reality is we are called to preach on what the readings are for that weekend. So again, sometimes people want to bring everything in, but like with me, and you know, every week I preach, my job is to break open the gospel that has been given to me to open it to the people that are there. Now, at the same time, we got to bring and incorporate those things in. So I wouldn't get too crazy over your pastor because you don't hear that all the time. But if you want to make sure you do that, make sure that you have something from the catechism or the official teaching of the church. Don't ever sit there and bring, well, you know, some saint said this. The saints are not the official teaching of the church unless they're brought into the catechism. Or Our Lady says this, it's some apparition. You don't want to bring that stuff in. You always want to stay with the official teaching of the church. And so when you're talking about that stuff, you should look it up online, make sure that it's official in either the catechism or one of the documents that have come out, and then you can just cut that stuff out, if you will, print it and let it in the back of your church, if you will. If you know people that are doing it, don't sit there and hit them over the head. You know, often what people only hear from us is the negative. Say, you know, I'm glad you're doing something like that, but you know it's wrong, and this is why it's wrong. Because God wants to be in charge of your life. And when you try to do this, you can really open yourself. And when you're doing that stuff, you're opening yourself up to demons. And it's truly, that truly happens. You're putting out an antenna, and a demon can, once you open that door, so you do that because you love people, not because you want to just say what's wrong with them. So you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, Gonette? Father. Thank
there you.
You
go. But you keep going, because that's a great thing.
Absolutely. Gonette, thank you so much for your call. Glad that you're listening to us there in Naples. When we come back from our quick break, we'll be talking with John in New York. He's listening on iHeartRadio. Wherever you're listening to us, you can give us a call at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000. It's Open Line Thursday with Father Larry Richards here on EWTN. Do give us a call.
Divine Intimacy Radio.
When you engage with the wisdom of saints this way, it stokes the fires of God in our hearts, encourages us, strengthens us, and gives us wisdom to deal with the difficulties of life. It also gives us wisdom that allows us to rise above all of the junk, to live with joy and peace in the midst of even the most difficult circumstances.
Divine Intimacy Radio, Sunday, 6:30 a.m., 1:30 p.m., and 11 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
This is Father Dennis Wild of Priests for Life with Pro-Life Update. God is Father of all and the origin of all fatherhood. Each year we celebrate Father's Day, and we invite you to join in a novena leading up to that day. The novena prayer, found at prayercampaign.org, reminds us that the protection and provision fathers bring is a reflection of God Himself. The prayer asks that all fathers may realize the greatness of their vocation and have the strength to live it without fear. In particular, we should pray for fathers who are tempted to have their children aborted, and for those who have done so in the past. They need strength, healing, they need consolation. May Father's Day bring a blessing to every father and help all of us to be, for each of them, a sign of God's love. This is Father Dennis Wild on EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I sent on the air? Go to confession. And when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. There are a lot of misconceptions about the Catholic faith. We clear them up on Call to Communion, tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now back to Open Line with Father Larry Richards.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
And back to the phones we go at 833-288-EWTN with Father Larry Richards. Let's go now to John in New York, listening to us on iHeartRadio. Hey, John, what's on your mind today?
Hi, how are you today?
Blessed. How are you, John?
I am blessed also. Thank you. So appreciate the ministry of EWTN and yours, Father Larry.
Thank you.
And here's my question. My wife and I, we've been married just about 44 years. We grew up Catholic. We were married in the Catholic Church. A couple of years after we were married, I had a conversion experience in a Protestant church. And eventually she joined me. I convinced her that the Catholic Church was, the wheels went off the train and they went off the track. And she joined me, very involved for 35 plus years, the two of us in ministry. And God started to speak to me to take another look at my Catholic roots. And long story short, I came back to the church almost 6 years ago. But my wife doesn't agree with it.
Sure.
My wife stopped attending church about 4 years ago, three and a half years ago. And my concern is she's not attending church, even though I'm willing to go with her. The only thing that appears that would work for her is if I stopped going to the Catholic Church and went back to the Protestant Church with her. And if I had to do that, I guess I would, but the tough thing would be leaving what I've learned to be truth.
Sure.
And the Eucharist.
Okay.
So somehow I'd like to help my wife. I pray
sure.
for her. We have a great relationship, marriage-wise, everything.
Good.
But this is a real struggle.
Okay, I'll tell you how to do it. The biggest thing is, you say the rosary there, John?
Occasionally.
Okay, I'd take it up again, and then, because I've never lost anybody I brought to Our Lady, I gave to Our Lady. But the way you say it is when you say the Hail Mary, again, and that's all from Scripture, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Jesus is right from the Word of God. You're speaking Scripture, because that's all from the angel, of course. And when you say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death, amen. What you should do is say, Hail Mary, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for and put your wife's name in there, now and at the hour of her death, amen. And so when you do that, or if you do the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the same thing. Because of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on your wife's name and on the whole world. Because of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on my wife and on the whole world. And now, you're, again, what you're doing is you're very explicitly focusing the grace of God to bring her back to the faith. And then if you really want it to go in high gear, John, then you fast on, because Friday you got to do something anyway, but you fast for your wife to come home to the faith. And Our Lady will get her back. I've never lost anybody with Our Lady. So if you were to come to really embrace the faith, you watch what this will do, and it'll even make the faith more real to you.
Sounds like a plan. Appreciate your call there, John. This is Open Line Thursday with Father Larry Richards here on EWTN. Our phone number, 833-288-EWTN. Let us go now to Bianca in San Antonio, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Bianca, what's your question today?
Hello, Bianca.
Hello, Father.
How are you? What's up?
I'm doing good, but I have a question.
Okay.
This is, and I don't know if this is just because of where I live, but I've noticed something unusual in a lot of Catholic churches, that during the sign of peace, a lot of people hug instead of the handshake, and sometimes they're a little insistent on it. They won't accept anything other than a hug, and I've seen this at several other Catholic events, that people just will plan a hug on you without asking your permission.
Sure.
And it's uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable to go to Mass or to attend a Catholic function.
Okay. Well, again, they shouldn't be doing that. If you came to Erie, Pennsylvania, you wouldn't find that. I don't think the people up on the East Coast do that as much as the people down in warmer climates. I just, you know, in California, everybody hugs each other. It's just not part of, you know, I'm not a big hugger either, even though I hug people when they leave Mass on Sunday if they ask, you know, unless they just put out their hand, then I'll shake their hand. And that's the best thing is, like, you know, to just put out your hand. And sometimes people are going to respond to that, and sometimes they're not. Sometimes people are going to still hug you, but you can say, you know, I'm never comfortable with hugging people, and they'll usually let you go at that if you could say that. But then if they still hug you, then what I'd encourage you to do is take that and offer it up for their good. So now you become a victim soul, and you say, Jesus, this makes me so uncomfortable, but I do it for love of you. And now you do it, and you, if then now you can do it, and it becomes a spiritual act that you're doing at Mass or somewhere else that you're bringing for someone else's good.
Beautiful. Appreciate your call there, Bianca. This is Open Line Thursday with Father Larry here on EWTN, 833 888-EWTN is our phone number. By the way, if you want to send us an email for a future show, love getting those emails, openline@EWTN.com, openline@EWTN.com. Let's go to Susan now in Cincinnati, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. And Susan, you have a follow-up to an earlier discussion, right?
Yes.
Hello, Susan.
Hello. Hi.
What's up?
Thank you for taking my call. I was concerned because you said that you're obligated to speak or do your homilies on the readings. Mm-hmm. And the way I understood it, you follow a three-year cycle with the readings. Mm-hmm. So you're picking and choosing only specific Bible verses or readings, and you're missing so much. And that's why Catholics tend to not maybe understand certain subjects. Like, for example, I'm going to just pick this subject. I could pick any, like homosexuality.
Sure.
You know, if you look in Corinthians chapter 6 and you look at Romans 1.
I know them all quite well. It's very, very clear. But let me tell you something, that you can get those things in a three-year thing. You can get those in when you're talking about immorality. But the reality is, it's not your job to tell priests what they're to speak on Sunday. It's not a lay person's job. That's our job. We stand before Almighty God. And so everybody wants us to preach what they want us to preach on. But let me tell you, that isn't your job. Now, you could suggest, Father, could you please talk more about these things? Because you can go and listen to almost anything I have online, and you're going to hear lots about homosexuality, contraception, everything else. You will hear it, but you're not going to hear it every week. So I'm just saying that everybody wants what they want us to preach on, but that's not your job to tell us what to preach on. Our job is to convert you and to make sure that you know Jesus Christ. That's your first thing. What's happening today is people are telling us this is what we want to hear. Well, sometimes what you want to hear isn't what's the best for the gospel. But we must. I will stand before God one day, and I'm going to have to give an account of everything that comes out of my mouth. And I've got to make sure that I am preaching the fullness of the gospel. So that's the whole thing. So, I mean, anybody else wants to call today and tell me what I'm supposed to be preaching on and what the priests are supposed to be preaching on, I would encourage you not to. I'm just saying.
Appreciate your call, Susan. Our phone number here, 833-288-EWTN. We've got Father Larry Richards answering your questions on the new evangelization. Let's go to Jim now in Texas. Hey there, Jim. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Jim.
Yes, hi. I'm not hearing you very well, but maybe I have a bad connection. But my question is that...
You need to turn your radio. Jim, you need to turn your radio all the way down.
Turn it off.
Yeah, there I'm on a cell phone. Oh, maybe my app is on. Should I shut the app off?
Yes, you must.
Hold on, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My app must be...
There you go.
Maybe that's what's going on. All
okay,
right,
what's up?
Maybe.
Oh, we lost him. What a shame. Jim, do give us a call back. This is Open Line Thursday here on EWTN. Let's go to Mark in Des Moines, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Father. I'm conflicted
Hello,
about something.
Mark. Okay, what's up?
In John chapter 14, Jesus tells us, ask for anything in my name and you'll receive it.
Yep.
I have a particular disease that I pray for healing, and then I pray for God's will. And I think God's will differs from what Jesus is telling us to pray for healing or pray for anything in my name and you will receive it. How is that supposed to work on praying for, having trouble with the difference between the two.
There is no difference between the two. That's why... What holiness is, and when our lives are doing what God wants, that means His will and our will become one. So what we always need to pray for is God's will to be done. That's what Jesus did. Now remember, when Jesus said, your will be done, that He went to the cross and died. He didn't like that. And so sometimes when we're praying, your will be done. So when Jesus says, ask anything in my name, ask the Father, if anything in my name will be given to you, that's anything that's for your good. Like for instance, if you say, in Jesus' name, I pray that that person die. Well, that isn't what God's will is.
No.
Or in Jesus' name, I don't want to have this sickness anymore. But sometimes this is God's will for you. This is the cross that He has chosen for you. So traditionally, the way that we've always taught is that when you make any kind of prayer, there are three answers. One is yes, one is no, and sometimes it's wait. You know, and so yes, no, or wait. And so what it is that you always got to do, the best way any kind of prayer is, because prayer isn't making God jump through our hoop. Prayer is conforming our will to the will of our Father, knowing that our Father loves us more than we love ourselves. Now, sometimes as you're suffering, you might experience that and feel that because you're really trying to get over something. And yet you got to say, Father, you know, if it's your will, take this from me. But if not, then I offer this up for your kids or your spouse or for someone you know that's struggling, and you become a person who is now bringing such joy and such healing to other people. Because what you got to always remember is, again, that this world isn't our home. And 100 billion years from now, when you're in heaven, God willing, and you look back and you say, and someone says, hey, remember when you were going through that suffering on earth? You're going to go, no, I don't remember. Because in this time, it's just, this time on earth is just a second of eternity. It's the first step. So you always got to put that in eternity. Now keep praying, because God could say, oh, but I do have a plan for you in a year from now or next week, because I fully believe in the healing power of God. But you got to make sure when you're telling God, God, I ask for healing, but if that's not your will, then I accept this for love of you. And you make that, you transform that into something that'll help you on the road to holiness. Does that help, Mark? I know it's not the greatest, but
I certainly don't expect it, but I just wanted to get the difference between the two, because you know, he's in management and I'm in sales, so we're just going to...
There you go.
Absolutely.
There you go. Okay, right. Mark. Thanks for calling us.
Appreciate it, Mark. This is Open Line Thursday with Father Larry Richards here on EWTN. Let's go quickly to David in Ashburn, Virginia, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Hey, David, what's on your mind today?
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Every September, I take a vacation with my wife and a bunch of her friends, who most of whom used to work for Campus Crusade for Christ. Mm-hmm. One of them is going for her doctorate, and she has had so much input from so many sources. She has really said a number of rather flattering things about the Catholic Church, so I think she's kind of open. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But when she asked if she could go to communion when she went to Mass with us, I said no.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, she went on a retreat with some Franciscans who told her, well, if you want to, then come on ahead. So I wrote an email to her explaining why I said what I said. I wasn't trying to, you know, just keep her at arm's length
sure.
or something like that. But I never sent the email because my wife said it was raising a contentious issue about something that only Catholics understand.
Sure.
Consequent to which, I wonder whether the better part of valor is to stay silent on the issue or to explain to her why I said what I said.
Again, I think that you could say the official teaching is normally a person cannot receive communion, but then you got to explain why. The way I always like to explain it, it's kind of like having sex before marriage, because you might be madly in love with the person, but you haven't had true union yet before. You haven't become union in marriage. And so because we're separated from our brothers and sisters, that's the first reason, because there's not real union there. It's almost a lie to say we have union, but there is not. First of all. Second of all, she probably does not believe as we believe. Like, for instance, when you even, like I sit there and talk about, when you say amen, amen is much more than I do believe. Amen is I would stake my life on what you just said. So when a Catholic goes to communion and the priest says, or the extraordinary minister says, the body of Christ, when you say amen, you're saying, I would die to sit there and I would die professing that Jesus Christ is truly present in the Eucharist, 100% God, 100% man. And then I would ask her, do you believe that? And they would show, she probably would say, well, no. And I'd say, well, that's what you're saying if you go to communion. And then a Protestant usually would say, well, then I better not go up because I don't believe that. Yes. But you know how many Catholics don't get it? You know, they don't even know what's going on sometimes. And again, like, my biggest thing is for communion to be real, for you to really really have an effect in your life, it takes faith that they believe that, and that's the problem.
There
but anyway, that's the two things I normally say, David. Hopefully that helps.
Thank you so much for your call, David. This is Open Line Thursday here on EWTN. I want to talk for just a moment, if I could, about church pop. Are you familiar with church pop? It is wonderful.
Oh, yes, great. Absolutely.
Fantastic. I just went to churchpop.com. Here's one of the headlines. Enormous landslide miraculously stops right before a 400-year-old church in Italy. That is an amazing thing. What about this, Father? You may have heard about this. A wild deer wanders into a church of the patron saint of deer hunting in an amazing coincidence.
I saw the video. It's amazing.
That is the wildest thing. We invite you to check out Church Pop. It is new online Christian content. It's an awful lot of fun. It's also very informative and inspirational. You'll find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and right here on the web at churchpop.com, churchpop.com. We're going to go back to the phones now. We'll talk with Jim. We had a bad phone connection with Jim earlier there in Donner, Texas. Jim, are you back with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much.
Welcome back, Jim.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
My question is,
I was a baptized baby Catholic, and there was a process that I went through slowly, having something happen. But then all of a sudden, around a certain age, it turbocharged. A friend of mine talked to me and said, you better start getting back more into it, and called Jesus. And I basically reconfirmed that I'm a Catholic and said, Jesus, come. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't a slow process. It was a slow process up till then. And I know a lot of people in my family are still at that point where they're not really believing, but they should be labeled like I was. And then all of a sudden, it's like there's a certain point that if you don't get confirmed properly or you're not formed as a child, that us adults could just like we become a faster process. So I've been told about the process, and I agree with it from a baby, but there's a certain point for some of us where something happens where there's a turbocharge added, when we finally believe it, somebody tells us to accept this and read the Bible, go to church, and then from that day on, it's much faster.
Absolutely.
I think that point is not really recognized a lot, I think.
We call it a reversion is what we call it, a reversion. But again, though, it's when someone finally surrenders to the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes people have been going to church for 40 years and have never fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit. And that happens by, like, going to a men's conference or by going to a retreat or something where finally all this makes sense and it's like, whoa, I'm not just going through the motions anymore. And once you see with the eyes of faith, then you can't unsee it. It becomes immediate and it's transforming. So that's a great thing, Jim. Now you got to continue to grow in your faith and just have that. Remember, you'll grow not by what you do, but by the Holy Spirit. So keep praying to the Holy Spirit to set you on fire, and He will.
Absolutely. We've seen it many times, right, Father?
Absolutely. And so keep going, Jim. God bless you.
Appreciate your call. Let's go now to Pamela in St. Charles, Missouri, listening on Covenant Radio, AM 1460. Hey there, Pamela. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Pamela.
Hi. My son was working with this older gentleman a couple days ago, and he was telling him about this great group that he had been involved with for years and years. It was a youth group within the Masons. Mm-hmm. And my son was all excited about his son, who's 11 years old, becoming part of that as a networking kind of thing that he would have business contacts when he gets older. And I said, I think there's a problem with the church with that, but mm-hmm. I didn't really know enough about it. And, he's all excited, and I don't know what to say to him in terms of, explaining why this, or is this a bad idea and why it's a bad idea.
Well, again, I would look it up. The best thing to do is because the church has rules on it. But again, most people, like especially in the United States, it's different in Europe. In the United States, most people see it's like the Shriners and look at all the good the Shriners are doing. Of course they're doing good and all that stuff. The reason we're not allowed to be part of it is because, first of all, they were very anti-Catholic in the beginning. And second is they have their own religion and religious practices in the midst of these things. And you cannot be Catholic and another practicing religion because there is a real religion there. there, what they believe. But again, most people, when they're going to join this stuff, they're going, oh, no, we're helping these kids that are, you know, so they can get free stuff. Of course there's good things, like anything. And we're not saying these are bad people. We're just saying as Catholics, we cannot be part of that organization. That's why we have the Knights of Columbus and we have our own stuff. But the best thing to do is to go and actually look up the documents. So you just put in Masons in the Catholic Church and you're in any Google, and you're going to find a lot of the teaching of why, and it goes through that whole history of it, and that would be the best thing, and give it to him from there so he can read it. How old is he?
Does that still pertain to today in America, though?
Oh, sure, I mean, absolutely. It's still, you're not allowed. There are Catholics that are listening to us right now who are Masons, but you're not allowed to be a Mason.
Yep, can't do it. Sorry about that, Pamela. Thank you so much for your call. Question here from
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. A question here from Sean watching us on Facebook right now. Is it wrong to pray for financial help? Not necessarily for fame and fortune, luxury and riches, but really just enough to support my family. Is it wrong to pray for that?
No, as a matter of fact, I always go to St. Joseph for that kind of stuff, because St. Joseph knows what it is to have to take care of a wife and kids.
Yeah.
So, of course, you can ask him, and what he'll do is he might say, I want you to get a better job, and I'm going to provide that for you, because I don't believe in God or anybody getting something for nothing, you know, when it comes to work. But, I mean, that's what you pray. So you pray for St. Joseph for a better job or for something else, and he can take care of you. I go to St. Joseph for everything. You know, even Pope Francis has this great thing of Saint Joseph, and so I have up in my room, my bedroom, as the sleeping Saint Joseph, which he has. And what you do is you take your petitions and you put it under his pillow, and so that's what I do. I'm constantly taking my petitions and putting them under the pillow of Saint Joseph, and that Saint Joseph can deal with it and take care of us, and he does.
Love.
So go to Joseph.
Appreciate your checking us out today on Facebook, Sean. We do like that. Let's go now to Alicia in Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey, listening on Sirius XM 130. Alicia, what's your question today?
Hello, Alicia.
Hello, Father. I have a question. I have MS, and someone just gifted me with a relic of St. Philomena. Mm. And I feel like, from what I've read, that I'm sure that, you know, God has a hand in me getting this relic. And I was wondering about building devotion and relationship with a saint like St. Philomena. How should I go about that?
Well, one of the things is you can do is you can get a reliquary. If there's a, you know, like a reliquary is a you can get it, you know, online for like $25, which will hold your relic. And so you can keep that. Like I have one in my office. Mm-hmm. And so I keep it there. And so I can look at it all the time and remind me that they're praying for me. And two, if you get either a book on them so you can learn more, or to also get a prayer or a favorite prayer. But also just to know that what a saint is they're praying for you, and they see the face of God. So you can get to know them because of Jesus. And so the best way to do that is just to learn and get a prayer to them. And if you have the reliquary, put it in your room and go to them and say, hey, you got to pray for me. I need this. Or, you know, or thank you for praying for me, or agree with this with me. And so it's just like having a friend in heaven. That's all they are. And they're great and powerful friends in heaven. So
absolutely,
that's what I'd encourage you to do.
Alicia, thank you so much for your call. Father Larry, do you know if that men's retreat in Malvern that you're going to be speaking at, is that still open? People can still come to that?
I'm not sure at all. I know I leave in the morning. It's only a 24-hour retreat because I have to come back, but it's Friday to Saturday. But they could call Malvern Retreat House and find out.
Sounds like a plan. Could you leave us with your blessing, please?
Absolutely. Holy Father, great God of love and mercy, we ask you to bless everybody who's listening to us now and give them peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Father Larry, thank you so much for all that you do for the church.
Thank you, Tom, for being here today.
Glad to be here. Looking forward to Jack Williams' triumphal return on Monday.
Let's see.
How about that? Appreciate that. Thank you so much for listening to Open Line here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We do it every day, Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, with an encore at 10 p.m. Eastern. For our fabulous crew, including our wonderful producer, Mr. Michael McCall, I am Tom Price. We'll see you next time right here on EWTN Radio, the Global Catholic Network. Have a great day, and God bless.